You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of John, where the message will be taken, beginning with John chapter 8, verse 31. And I'll read through verse 42. If you have a Bible at home, if you'll grab that and have it near, we'll be referring to it throughout the message. And beginning with John 8, 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father.' They answered and said unto him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus saith unto them, 'If you were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, and this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father.' Then they said to him, 'We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.' Jesus said unto them, 'If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me." Before the message this morning, the Nealega family has a special in song for us.
It says in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
How could it ever
Amen. We are thankful that the Lord Jesus gave his life so that we can have life everlasting. As we continue our study in the book of John this morning, we're looking at disciples indeed. As Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And as we look at the disciples indeed, this morning in this passage, we're going to see, first of all, some prominent attributes of being heirs of salvation. And I hope you're saved and you'll see some of these attributes that we have as believers. And then we will look at this crowd here in John 8 and we'll see some prevailing actions of being hostages of sin. And some people today are enslaved with sin, and Jesus talks about being set free indeed. And then we will look at some progressive attitudes of being hostile to the Savior. And this hostility to Christ comes to us as Christians, and we shouldn't be surprised at that because we are called by his name, and some of the hostility today will be directed to us as believers because of our attachment to Christ. But first, let's look at the prominent attributes of being heirs of salvation. And the first one we're going to see is faith. Of course, you're not a believer if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for we're saved by faith there. And here Jesus says, "You shall know the truth." And this word know in the Greek language is a word that has to do with experiential knowledge. So it's not just talking about a head understanding, an academic understanding of knowing the truth here. And so as we come to experience salvation, we come to know Christ personally, not just about him by reading the scriptures or hearing others talk about him, but we come to know him. And aren't you glad that we have a know-so salvation? The Epistle of John talks about how these things were written there, that we might know that we have eternal life. And our salvation is not based on our feelings. It's not based on our failures that we have or successes that we might have, but it's based on our faith. And so we have faith in God. And not only are we saved by faith, but the Bible says that we walk by faith and we live by faith even after we're saved. Another attribute that we see here is we have the facts here. In verse 32, it says, "You shall know the truth." Not know the right opinion. There are a lot of opinions, personal opinions. There's public opinion that we hear so much about, but Jesus is the truth. And as he was standing before Pilate, Pilate asked the question, "What is truth?" And truth was standing right there in front of him because Jesus said, "I am the truth." But yet he didn't know the truth there. And so we have the facts of the Word of God. When I was growing up, some of you may remember a show on TV. It was called Dragnet. And there was a Sergeant Friday on there, and it was a detective kind of show, and they would go around and question people trying to find a guilty one. And sometimes people would get off track and start going on, and Sergeant Friday was kind of known for the saying, "Just the facts, ma'am, just the facts," you know. And we have the facts, just the facts. The Word of God is true. The Bible gives us facts about the gospel, which is the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It gives us the facts about death, about sin, about hell, about heaven. We have the truth in God's word there. And God doesn't want us to die because of our sins and go to hell. And Art was sharing a verse with you earlier from Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's a fact there. And we don't have to die in our sins and go to hell because of what Christ has done. We can actually know the truth. Well, we see the third attribute, being an heir of salvation, is freedom. Jesus says, "The truth shall make you free, and you shall be free indeed." He said that you're my disciples indeed, and you have freedom indeed. And really know and enjoy freedom. And our freedom is not just because we're not locked up in prison. The Apostle Paul talked about freedom in Christ oftentimes when he was in prison there. And our freedom that we have is in Christ. We are free from sin. In verse 33,
4, Jesus says to them, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. So they were slaves to sin. They were imprisoned by sin. And then he says in verse 35, and the servant abides not in the house forever. And though we might be servants of sin, it doesn't have to be forever. When Christ comes to live within us and we come to know the truth, he frees us from the grip and the consequences of sin. And then we are free indeed when we come to know him. And the fourth and final prominent attribute of being heirs of salvation is faithfulness. In verse 31, he says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And we know this is not talking about a works-based salvation, that we somehow are able to help God with salvation and hold on to it by continuing. And so here, it is not the basis for salvation, but it is the result of our faith that where we get saved. We have this continuance there. Remember Judas and Peter. They both failed the Lord, but not both of them ended up being saved. Oh, they both had sorrow, but not sorrow that leads to repentance on the case of Judas there. And so those that are genuinely born again and know the Lord Jesus, they continue in faith. And it's not because of anything we are or have, but it's because of faith. It is trusting him to help me when I fail, that he will convict us even as he did David in the Old Testament and searched out his heart, and David confessed those things there. And so salvation is of the Lord. We have faith, and it begins the moment we put our trust in Christ, and then when we are faithful to him, he says, if you continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. And that's what we want to be, disciples indeed. Well, some of these were hostages to sin, as we saw when Jesus talked about how they could be made free from that sin. And there are some prevailing actions of those that are tied to their sins, and one is lying. Notice the lie that they tell to Jesus here. They said to Jesus, we are Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man there. And they were lying. They were in bondage. Here they are, they're children of Abraham. Had they forgotten that they were in bondage to Egypt and how God set them free? And oftentimes people who are in bondage to sin, they lie to themselves. They convince themselves that I don't need a savior. I'm not that bad. I haven't committed murder. I haven't done this. And they start deceiving themselves is what lying is. And pride, these people were full of pride because of their heritage. They were Abraham's seed, and pride will blind a person to the truth. Pride that I'm not a sinner, I'm not that bad, you know, but it will. It'll blind us and keep us from having the freedom in salvation that God wants us to have. Well, being a hostage to sin doesn't have to be permanent. That's why I mentioned earlier in verse 35, when Jesus said, the servant abides not in the house forever. We don't have to be a hostage to sin for all of our lives and then die in sin and end up going to hell, because Jesus came that he might save us from our sin. And so being a servant to sin can be made free. We can be. Think about the prodigal son there. And he wasn't a servant. He was a son. And so sonship is different than servantship. And so when the son, even though he had run away, even though he had failed his father, he came back into the household because he was a son. And that's what God does to us. Even as his children, if we're not continuing in his word and are disciples indeed, and we kind of stray away, when we come back to the father, just as the prodigal son's father did, he has the arms outstretched and waiting for us to come and return. So we don't need to lie about our condition, whether we're lost or saved. We need to face the truth of God's word. Well, another action of being a hostage to sin is leaving the word. Jesus said to them in verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. What about you this morning? How much place does God's word have in you? How much attention do you give to it, to read it and study it, and especially to live by it? Here, he's not talking about opinion. He's not talking about religion. He says, my word doesn't have a place in you. And because God's word didn't have a place in them, they weren't saved. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as God saves us, the moment we get saved, he places that seed of the word of God in our lives. And that seed then began to bear fruit in our lives. But they didn't have the word of God. And therefore, not only was there not fruit of Christianity in their lives, there was the opposite. There was hostility, and we'll see that in just a little bit here. And they didn't have the word of God in them. God's word is so important for us in any time in which we live, whether we're going through struggles like we have been for a couple of months now with this pandemic, or whether we're on the mountaintop. God's word is eternal, and God has given it to us to help us. It's his roadmap as we travel through this earth. Well, there's one more action here of those who are hostages to sin, and that is lacking love for Christ. In verse 42, he said to them, if God were your father, now he knew that Abraham was their father, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me here. And so having a love for Jesus is a proof of salvation, that we are disciples indeed. But there has to be a proper understanding of what love is. Just because a person appreciates what Jesus did by dying on the cross doesn't mean that they're saved. Just because a person knows that in their head doesn't mean that they're saved. Just because they have a feeling towards Jesus because of what he's done, whether from reading the scriptures or seeing movies that show how Christ died on the cross and suffered for our sins, we know from the scriptures that the word love, agape, doesn't have to do with a feeling. Oh, there might be a little feeling in there when we love people, but love is an attachment to someone. It is a commitment. That's why when we read in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And here's this idea of this commitment. God committed to us by giving his son. And those who love Jesus are those who are committed to him. And so Jesus says, if you continue in these things, if you have love for me, the Bible says, as Jesus was teaching, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So obedience is one of the key factors to knowing if a person really loves God or not. A person can say, I love God, but if he's not living according to the word of God and following Christ, Jesus, as he said to them, you're of your father the devil. He's a murderer and a liar there. And so may God help us to know the truth, and the truth sets us free there. And whenever we're set free, we don't leave the word of God. We attach ourselves to it because we love God's word. Thy law do I love, the psalmist said. And we are in God's word. We want to know what it says because God has revealed himself to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. And so may we have a love for the Lord that gives us an attachment to him, a closeness to him. When you love something or someone, you want to be with them or that thing. There, we used the word love in our English language to refer to a lot of things. We use love for a certain kind of food we love, or a person we love, or a sport we love. And whenever that thing is or person is not around us, we miss that. Like I do during this baseball season, which it should be, but there's no baseball, and I love baseball, and so I like to attach myself and be as close to it as I can there. That's what love does. When we have that desire for God, when we love Him, we want to attach ourselves to Him and as much as we can be near to Him there. Well, here we see in the day of Jesus, as well as in the day in which we live, there is some hostility towards Christianity. Not so much hostility towards religion, maybe some, but it's, as we as Christians know, the hostility is much more against Christianity because of who Christ is. There was hostility to Christ, and so we shouldn't be surprised when we face hostility today. And there are six attitudes of hostility that we're going to see as we go through this passage this morning. And the one is contradiction. They said to Jesus in verse 13, your record is not true there. And so whenever they didn't like what he was saying and they disagreed with him, they just said, your record's not true. What was his record? Well, going back a week or so ago when we were looking at verse 13, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And they were saying that your record's not true because you're testifying of yourself. And the law requires two witnesses. And as we saw last week, Jesus says, the Father in heaven testifies for me, the scriptures testify of me, and others have testified of me. And so they were just being contradictory here about Jesus not being the light here. And Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so here he was making a claim about that he was the light here. And whatever Jesus says is true. Whatever God's word says is true. And people will try to contradict what the Bible says. They will try to do that about creation. They will contradict what the Bible says about creation and come up with ideas of evolution because they're contradicting what the Bible says. They will come up with their own man-made religions, regardless of what those religions may be, and say that all roads, all religious roads, lead to heaven, and you might go on this side of the mountain, I might go on this side, but we're all striving for the same God. And that's a lie of the devil there. Jesus was very plain and narrow in his statement when he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In any other way, Jesus said, they are a thief and a robber there. The Bible talks about marriage and morality and civil unions, as it's called in public policy there. But God's word speaks to that. And it tells us, and people will try to contradict what the Bible says. And whenever we take a stand on what the Bible says, because Jesus said it, we can expect to have opposition. Jesus did. Well, the contradiction didn't work. So now they went to the next step and they began to make some insinuations there. They said, we be not born of fornication there. That's in verse 41. And in our Greek language, when you look at that, that word we is emphatic. It's actually there twice to show the emphasis. We're not the ones born of fornication. And notice the insinuation there. And we know the Bible teaches the virgin birth, that Jesus was born of a virgin. And so here they're saying, you are the one that was born illegitimately, as we would say in a kinder way there. And that was the insinuation. See, the first one, the contradiction, was about what he said. Now it comes to who he is. They're beginning to attack his character. And not just his, that was an insult against his mother as well. But Jesus didn't address that there. And so here they are making these insinuations there. It's hate speech, and it's hate speech against Christ. Hate speech against Christians in today's society. That's the only kind of hate speech that seems to be tolerated, isn't it? If it's against Christians, but any other kind of hate speech, you know there's severe penalty for that there. And so Jesus said in verse 21, Jesus says, I go my way, and ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. And so there's the way of Jesus in 21, and then in 23 he says, ye are from beneath, and I am from above. And so there's the way of Jesus, the way above, and there's the way of beneath, the way of this world. And when people are going the way of this world, they're going to contradict the Bible. They're going to make insinuations about Christ, even about those who follow him, about what he said and about who he is. Who is he? Well, verse 24, he said to them, if you believe not that I am he in italics, and we know that was added for our understanding, but in the original, Jesus said, if you believe that not that I am, you'll die in your sins. Who is the I am? The I am of the Old Testament we know is Jehovah God, the Lord, that sent Moses, said, tell them that I am has sent you there. And so they were ignorant of this because they asked the question in verse 25, who are you? There. And so whenever the contradiction didn't work and the insinuation, Jesus continued to defeat them in their arguments, they began to deny there. They said, we be Abraham's seed in verse 33. We are Jews. We're Abraham's seed. And of course, we know Jesus was as well. Jesus was born there of the tribe of Judah there. And what do atheists do? They do this very thing. They deny that there's a God. They deny that there's a hell. But even though they might deny there's a God and deny that there's a hell, it doesn't change the fact that there is a God. And it doesn't change the temperature of hell 1 degree there. If you can't refute it, deny it. And that's what they're doing here. And so, though we wouldn't say they were atheists because they did believe in God, but they were what we can call practicing atheists. Practicing atheists are those who are living as though there is no God to whom they answer and there is no hell that Jesus spoke about there. And so Jesus said in verse 29 that he always does those things that please the Father there. And when we do always those things that please the Father, and we don't always, like Jesus did, it's going the way of Jesus. There's the way above, the way beneath. There's the way of the Word of God and the way of the world. And whenever we go of the way of the Word, we are pleasing to him. And Jesus said to them in verse 43, ye cannot hear my words. He says, why don't you understand? You can't hear my word. That is, they couldn't comprehend the things that Jesus was saying to them, and they couldn't bear it, is the meaning of this when he says, you can't hear my word. They couldn't bear what he had to say because God's word searches the heart. God's word detects hypocrisy and exposes it there, and it exposes sinful motives. Their motive was to kill him, and we'll see that in just a little bit. And so they begin to deny everything because they can't prove the opposite there. And so refusing to deal with sin was proof that they were not of God. If we continue in Christ's word, we're disciples indeed. When a person refuses to deal with sin, that's one evidence that they are not of God, because those who are of God want to be closer to him because they love him. The fourth attitude of hostility is insulting. So they go from insinuating that he is illegitimate, and now they say, you are a Samaritan. And of course, that was a racial accusation there. The Samaritans, of course, were hated by the Jews. And not only did they call him a Samaritan, they said, you're demon-possessed there. You have a devil here. And in verse 49, Jesus said to them, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory, but there is one that seeketh and judges. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Here. And so as they are dishonoring him, he makes this bold claim. He says, if a man follows me and believes in me, he won't die. And now they said, we know you have a devil there. Our father Abraham, he's dead, and all the prophets, they're dead. And you're saying a person can follow you and not die there? In Matthew chapter 22, we won't have time to turn over there, we see where God, our Father, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here are these people who knew the law, and they were Jews, descendants of Abraham, but in verse 52, they said, Abraham's dead. Verse 53, they said, our father Abraham is dead. And Jesus, other places, says, is God the God of the living? Or is God the God of the dead? Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they're not dead. They are alive more now than they ever have been. Isn't that a wonderful promise for us that we die? In the physical sense, as believers, we're more alive than we ever have been there. And so the foundation of their thinking was wrong. So therefore, their conclusion was wrong. And so the foundational thinking we have about who is Christ, they didn't know who he was. So all their other thinking became false. And so it's so important for us to have that foundation of who is Christ. He is the Son of God. And God the Son in the flesh. Well, then, number five, they go to sarcasm. And they ask, as we would say today, who do you think you are? Whom thou makest thyself to be? In verse 54, Jesus said to them, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say he's your God. Jesus said, you say he's your God, but you're not talking like it. You're not living like it there. It's not in practice. You're not disciples indeed, because all you're doing is talking and contradicting. And you might know some of the Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, but you don't know the God of the scriptures here. And so as we think about today, we have audio and video there. And we have visuals to help people understand. In our Christian walk, it needs to be more than just audio. There needs to be some visual to it as well. And so Jesus heard what they're saying, and he said to them, you say it. I hear what you're saying, but you're not living. And your life is evident that God is not your father there. Abraham might be your ancestor, but God that sent me is not your father, because you haven't placed faith, you haven't trusted me, the light of the world, the truth that sets you free. And then they go to step six, and the last resort of defeated people is violence there. And they took up stones to stone him. And we see that even today in our society, even sometimes in politics, when people are defeated, they go to violence, don't they? You know, and so that's what they're doing here. They take up stones like people today are rioting and attacking others with whom they don't agree. They didn't like what Jesus was saying, and they couldn't refute what he was saying, and so they resort to violence. And Jesus said to them in verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now that was hope. That was a statement they just couldn't comprehend. And they said to him in verse 57, you're not even 50 years old. How did you see Abraham there? And this statement that Jesus made in verse 58 is such a powerful statement. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, they knew enough of the scriptures to know I am. Because they had studied about Moses and Abraham and others there. And so Jesus says, I am the Jehovah God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He said to them, you're of your father the devil. He's a murderer. Verse 44, he's a liar, and that's what you've done. You've lied about your own sin and that you've never been in bondage, and you're seeking to kill me, and that's what Satan is. He's a murderer there. And so the violence were there. And these attitudes of hostility may come to us in America. So don't be surprised if we face hostility like Jesus did, if we are disciples indeed. So in conclusion, we have two choices. First of all, are you a disciple indeed? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, are you continuing daily following God's word, walking in the light as he is the light, confessing sin when we sin, are we disciples indeed? And then the other choice is, are you hostile to Christ? And someone may say, well, I'm not hostile to Christ, but I'm really not following the Lord in his word continually. I'm not continuing in his word, as he said in verse 31. But he doesn't give us another option. Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're against me. If you're not a disciple indeed, you're hostile to the teachings of Scripture. And so this morning, as we close in prayer, ask yourself, am I a disciple indeed? Have I put my faith in Christ? I've trusted him for salvation. I love his word. I love him. I'm in it regularly. I'm following him. And I am a disciple indeed. And I'm not hostile to God's word because I'm living for him. And if you're not living for him, if you're not a disciple indeed, you have opportunity while we're praying to ask God to save you, to come into your heart, to forgive you, and not be a servant of sin anymore, but to walk in the light and know Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the teachings of Scripture. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for us and coming to earth and dying for us on the cross and providing salvation for us. Father, help us that we might be disciples indeed, especially in a world of darkness. It needs the light that Christ can give, and help us to be bearers of that light to the world. And if there's anyone listening this morning and watching that never trusted Christ, maybe religious like these people talking to Jesus, but didn't know the foundational truth of who Christ is, we pray that they would trust him now for eternal salvation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.